Wednesday 3:18-26, How Faith Works, Part 34. Dealing with Turbulence is the title of this. After the shoot this week, this passage of scripture took on a whole new meaning for me. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says here, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wrestle says, shows to mean to vibrate. The dictionary says it better. It says struggle, to wrestle with someone. After my experience this week, the Lord spoke to me the word turbulence while praying, because I was asking, what in the heck's going on here? The best instance I can think of in the Old Testament, only place in the Bible, is when Jacob wrestled with the angel. So we're going to go look at that for a moment. The commentary says that they think it was either an incarnate Christ or it was an angel. I think it was a demonic angel. That is my own take on that, and I'll tell you why. Let's go read it. This is Genesis 32. In the way I likened it to my condition, we're headed a certain direction. We're having a change in direction. And we're headed to a certain direction, and so was Jacob. He was about to square things. He was coming back from his exile. And he was going to meet his brother who had animosity against him. And if you read the book of Jasher, it says that they were dealt with harshly by angels, that if they touched Jacob, they were in trouble, in other words. But Jacob didn't know that. Anyway, let's go to Genesis 32. He was about to come into his true inheritance, you could say. It'd be squared away and be right, you know, because he basically fled for his life, is why he was where he was. And he was there for, I think, about 20 years or something. I don't know exactly the time, space there. Let's start with verse 1. "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him." These were the ones that just visited Esau, supposedly, in the other account. "And when Jacob saw them, he said that this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I've sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Well, I bet that scared Jacob, thinking about his brother, you know, when he fled to go to Laban's house, he was going to kill him. "And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, and into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which saith unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed to thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, make thy seed as the seed of the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. As I was reading this, I just kind of had this thought come to me that that angel that wrestled with Jacob, maybe that was the one that caused the enmity between him and Esau. This was his last stand. You don't think so?
No, I don't know about that.
But as I'm reading, I'm thinking on this line. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand to present for Esau's brother. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch cows or camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. He's setting it all up to try to appease his brother that was so angry that he wanted to kill him. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space between drove and drove. He commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. Well, you know, that's what the rift was about, the inheritance. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company, and he rose up that night and took two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Maybe this demonic angel. Possibly. You keep shaking your head.
Read the next verse.
When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. You think the devils don't know that? For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Why would you wrestle with a heavenly angel? You would not. Yeah. Anyway. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Why would he touch his thigh? Why would he leave him crippled for the rest of his life? An angel of a God would not do that unless he was on an assignment to do. Whether or not this angel was from God or not, I just don't see how an angel of God here, because angels, they bear them up in their hands lest they dash their foot against a stone. Jacob was crippled for the rest of his days because of what the angel did. So that's up for debate, I guess. whatever you think. Jacob wrestled with this entity all night long. Why would you fight with an angel of God? I mean, your son kind of stupid. Okay. Kind of sounds familiar, though, doesn't it, that you're always wrestling with something? Well, it isn't God's angels you're wrestling with, I can guarantee you right now, any more than I think it was Jacob wrestling with God's angel. I believe totally that we wrestle with not flesh and blood, but the scripture just said principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Okay. They're the ones that cause bodily harm. Now, the angels of God will cause bodily harm if God sends them on assignment to take care of some wicked person. Our stand of faith is what keeps our armor in place, and although we wrestle, we are the winner. I'm going to read the armor of God. Anyway, it's something to think about. There seems to be a contradiction there for me. Start with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, Jacob wrestled with an angel. Just saying. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, because the devil is a fallen angel. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's like saying, what pushed me into the wall? Well, that must have been God is trying to teach you a lesson. No. God doesn't do evil, and His angels don't do evil to His children. They do not. Now, I know with Balaam was mixed up. He was false prophet and had gone astray. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of spirit, which is the word of God. To me, that's a cheap shot. What that angel did was a cheap shot, just like what's done at me. A cheap shot. You better get your shot in while you can, because you're not going to get another chance. Kind of that kind of deal. Because his inheritance was passing to him, and he's going to be the patriarch of the group. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're the victors when we continue to stand and we don't back down. I know what the Lord said to us about turbulence. I couldn't find all the stuff that we've got, and I don't know which one of the visitations it is to listen to it, but basically, if I'm remembering right, it's whenever you are raising out of the bondage and you're headed to third heaven authority. In other words, all that's in between and all the principalities and the powers are all there. That's where you meet with turbulence, because you're on the way up, right? Okay. Here's some more terms right here of turbulence from the dictionary. Great commotion or agitation, irregular atmospheric motion characterized by up and down currents. One thing is for sure, people that are not doing God's will have it easy. But those that are over the target, the war is on. Paul encourages Timothy with these words. This is 1 Timothy 1:18. I, the charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. War here means to serve in a military campaign, to execute the apostolate with its artist duties and functions, to contend with carnal inclination. In other words, his apostolic authority.
Arduous duties.
Huh? Arduous duties, yeah.
The Lord used that word with you too.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Romans. Let's go to Romans 13 right quick. These are things that I, as I was doing this, that I kind of had come to me, and I think, well, you know, this should help. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, there's such disrespect for the leaders of our country, and I understand because of the things they've done to us, some of them, but there are some good leaders too. And see, whenever we get in the wrong, on the right, wrong side of things, instead of praying for our authority and we start complaining about our authorities, then we can get into trouble. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. This is why we're praying for the district attorneys over the 17 counties anyway. And I've been praying for Mike Thompson again. I've had him come back up. He's out of Las Vegas. So, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Mike Thompson, he and his wife, they've had the warfare. They have had the warfare. Just little I know. I probably don't know the half of it, what they've been through. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. There's the biggest witches coven, I think, in the world there in Las Vegas. So they've got quite a place to stand against. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to tribute, due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I think a lot of what I have experienced is because we began to speak over these magistrates, the ones that do bear the sword. The Lord said, that's why he said, don't add to it, because he knew. Owe no man anything. Well, render, did I read that 7? Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. It doesn't matter if you like them or not. It has nothing to do with it. Or you like their policies. That's why we pray for all in authority that they'll hear God, that the Holy Spirit will be able to lead them to turn the king's heart like a water course. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's see where I stopped. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm saying that because I think, you know, the more that we can walk in love and do what the Lord has told us to do that way, the better off we will be. Okay, 2 Corinthians, because the Lord has not spoken to me personally except turbulence. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3 there. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Okay. Two more. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. I'm reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, Ephesians 4, 27. Never or neither give place to the devil. Do not accommodate him in any way. Like I said, the Lord's not spoken to me anything concerning this, but we must always be cautious, like just like Peter admonished us about the 1 Peter 5:6-9, about the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. Because we got to cover ourselves. I mean, the Holy Spirit covers us, but we also have a part to play in it. Right here. It says, first, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, everybody's going through turbulence to a degree. Anyone that's doing anything for God is going through turbulence. It can't help but happen. Our nation's going through turbulence. You know, that's a reflection of what's going on in the spirit realm. Our nation's tore up right now all over the place. Stuff is going on all over the place right now. Whether a parent or not, if they're just playing the movie that they already did, it's still happening. People are still seeing it in real time, and they're still experiencing it. So, anyway, that's it.